Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
A series called Will the Real You Speak Up? And we talked about, and we keep laying this foundation that God's Word is to be in our heart and in our mouth. And if that's new to you, I want you to stay with me on this because it's really important. Our words matter. Proverbs, the 18th chapter. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Joy and I learned early on this verse. Early on in our marriage, we were blessed that we had teachers that taught this verse, and they really began to ram this truth home to us. And I promise you, it was a major help. Now, we have not been as developed. In fact, we've talked about we have not been as developed as we should about speaking more words of life. But what we did do was we did not speak death. We didn't speak death. When I say speaking death, let me give you an example. I know this has never happened to anyone here. This is for people who are not here. But you can argue, and you can have an argument with your spouse, and the D word comes up, the divorce word. Some people use it like a weapon. And Joy and I, early on, neither one of us would use that word. I can honestly tell you, in about 44 years of marriage, it's been less than 5 times that word's ever come up in our conversation. You say, well, what's the big deal with that? If you don't speak it, it helps that you don't even bring it into the environment. You don't even bring it in. It was not an option. Neither one of us, both of us are stubborn. And both of us just refuse to quit. Amen. I mean, we look at one another and go, I'm not quitting. Yeah. And she'd go, well, I'm not quitting either. Yeah. Well, I guess we're stuck. Thank God we did. Amen. Thank God we made it through the hard part, because now, man, we have a wonderful time. Kids are gone. It's good. That's a woo. I won't tell you right now. If you don't know that woo, that's a woo. Kids are like, oh, how is it when we're gone? It's wonderful. It is so good. No, we love our kids. They come, they go, it's good. But our words, we didn't use words like that. Take those death words out of your vocabulary. Take words like, I never loved you. I don't know why I married you. I don't know, what was I thinking? I must have been stupid. Take them out. They're not helping anything. They just speak death. And when you're just about to say something, just go, bless you. Just bless you. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. When I was struggling some in sales, I appreciate the fact that Joy, when I every morning I would leave for work, she would look at me, she'd go, it's going to be a good day. You're going to sell something today. Those are words of life. Words matter. Words matter. You build strong relationships with your words. You tear down relationships with your words. And so words do matter. The Bible knows exactly what they were talking about. We've kind of gotten this idea over the years that, just saying. There's no just saying. You ever heard those people that go just saying, but you know there's something behind it? Well, I was just joking. Yeah. But the words hurt. And so learn to speak words of life. Speak them over yourself. Speak them over your loved ones. Speak them over your family. Last week, we talked about Zacharias. He is the father of John the Baptist. And Zachariah was the one that he and his wife were well advanced in years. And they hadn't had any children. Elizabeth was barren. Angel came to Zacharias and said, you're going to have a baby. In fact, the baby was going to be John the Baptist. Zacharias looked at the angel. An angel. You know those angels are impressive looking. He looked at this angel and go, how do I know this? That was a wrong thing to say to an angel. And he said, how do I know this? I'm old, my wife's old, basically we've never had kids. And angel, The angel said, well, you're not going to be able to talk until this baby is born. Now, we could read that and go, well, he's punishing Zechariah for disobedience. And, okay, I can go with that. I really do believe it was more preventative than it was punitive. He was keeping him from talking death. Because you know what? Angels have been known to strike people differently than just not talking.
Yes.
Like with blindness. He could have made him blind. Oh, you didn't believe me? You're going to be blind for 9 months. Yeah. That's not what he did. He said, you can't talk. They've struck people with leprosy. But that would have really spoiled things. You come home with leprosy, Elizabeth's like, no, you're not staying in this house. You're out. So when he said not talking, it was helping here. Now, there was a different response from another person, another supernatural birth, another angel, actually the same one, Gabriel. You know this story. We're a little early on it. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. I just get excited reading that. Of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I'm a virgin? That's a different response. She didn't look at Gabriel and go, what? How do I know you're telling me the truth? She just said, how is this going to happen since I'm a virgin? That's a good question. Come on, guys. We don't have to go through biology tonight. That's a good question. With Zacharias, there had been precedent of old people having babies. Abraham and Sarah were old. Samson's parents were old. Hannah had never been able to have a child. So having children was no big deal. Having a child as a virgin, that's a different story. And there was only like one verse that talked about a virgin birth. And so she just said, how is this going to happen? I love her response. And listen to how the angel answered. And the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed. What a different response. Now, listen, when she said, how is this going to happen? The angel gave her an answer. And can you want to bet that Mary didn't understand it? It's not like they had a lot of experience with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit hadn't moved in Israel in 400 years. So it's not like they really understood that. And so when she said, how's this going to happen? The angel said, oh, Holy Spirit's going to come on you. Power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. You know, she could have gone, I don't know if I get that. How's that going to happen? Listen, here's a beautiful thing. You don't have to know. I don't have to understand everything to believe it. Faith is not about understanding. Faith is simply believing. Yeah. And so she had a great answer. Now, I don't know. I do love what the angel said about Elizabeth. He said, Elizabeth, this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. She was called barren. Oh, I love that. She used to be barren. She's not barren anymore. She's 6 months pregnant because with God nothing shall be impossible. There's a lot of you in here who used to be called something else, and you are not called that anymore. I used to be called depressed, but I don't get called depressed anymore. There are some of you used to be called addicted, but no one calls you addicted anymore. They used to call you bound, but nobody calls you bound anymore. They used to call you selfish, but they don't call you selfish anymore. Because with God, nothing will be impossible. And I love her answer. I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Great answer. Let it be to me. Now, you say, well, that's Mary, but what about me? Anytime you begin to find something in the scriptures where the Bible begins to talk about who you are, instead of going, I don't get it. I don't understand. How do I know that's going to happen? Just go, Lord, I don't understand how I'm more than a conqueror in Christ, but let it be to me according to your word. I don't understand how I'm the head and not the tail, but let it be to me according to your word. So understanding that faith simply says we're going to agree with what God says, and we're going to agree with what God says about us. Now, I'm going to veer off that just for a little bit and talk about a man who's called the father of our faith. His name is Abraham. And Abraham had a relationship with God, and God worked on him in two areas, and we'll talk about that. Worked on him in the area of what he saw and then what he spoke. What he saw and what he spoke. So his relationship with God, Genesis 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. This is way back in the book of Genesis. He said, do not be afraid, Abram, I'm your shield, your exceeding great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, look, you've given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but the one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Abraham had no children. Sarah couldn't have kids. And so they've gotten old. And Abraham's saying, look, the only one's going to be my heir. I don't have a natural heir. I've got a servant that's close to me, but and he was born in my household, but that's it. And he brought him, God brought him outside and said, look now toward the heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and he accounted it to him, to Abram, for righteousness. Abram's telling the Lord, he said, I don't have any kids. And the Lord said, oh, you're going to have children. They're going to come from your own body. Now, this is a guy who's older. His wife has never been able to have children. They've never been able to have kids. And God brings him outside. He must have been in his tent. And he brings him outside. I don't know if you've ever been in a place where there's no light pollution, but when you get outside on a clear night, the sky just lights up with stars. And he said, I want you to look at these stars and see if you can count them. He said, because your kids are going to be like that. What is God doing? He's beginning to change how Abram sees. He's changing how he sees things. Abram looked at the stars before, but he never thought, I would have children like this. I'll have innumerable number of children. What's God doing? He's changing what Abram is seeing in his life. Oh, so every night when he would step out and look at the stars, he would go, man, wow, I'm going to have kids like this. This is awesome. And what's that doing? Why did God do that? You think God's just like, God likes playing games? God didn't do anything to play games. He needed to change Abram's vision on the inside. He needed to change what he saw, because he had always seen himself as childless. But now every time he steps outside, he starts thinking, I'm going to have kids like this. This is pretty good. He's changing what he saw. So let's go on with this. We must change what we're looking at. You're in here on a Wednesday night and you're hearing the Bible taught, you're hearing God's word, or you're watching online, you're hearing God's word. And whether you know it or not, when you begin to hear things about what God's done and what he's done in others and what he's done, it starts to change your image of what you see. It starts to change how your, for lack of a better term, your vision. You know, how you see things a lot of times is how it happens. How you see yourself is how it happens. I've heard people say, Alan, I could just never see myself in that situation. I could never see myself. Now, I'm going to say something. I don't mean this unkind, but I've talked to ladies who have gotten involved in abusive relationship after abusive relationship after abusive relationship, and you want to go, why? And you talk to them, and they can't see themselves as having anything better. And so you want to go, darling, you're so much more valuable than that. Have you ever met someone that they just had all this talent and they were just wonderful people, but they did not see themselves that way? See, this is one of the beautiful things. This is one of the things I love about the gospel. I love about God's word. It doesn't just give us heaven when we die. That's wonderful. That is great. That is enough. But it also begins to change how we see ourselves down here. It begins to change how we perceive ourselves, that we're no longer just, I'm just from nowhere and nobody knows me and no one cares. And we begin to see ourselves as a son or daughter of the Almighty God, that we're someone with value and someone with purpose and someone with a destiny in life that is bigger than anything that anybody else saw in us, but God sees something big. And when you begin to, you say, well, Alan, how do I do this? This is when you begin to spend the time in God's word, not as a duty, not as something that you have to do, but realizing that God's word will put life in you. And just like those stars begin to change what Abram saw, God's word will begin to change what you see. Amen. And you can begin to see your family is making it. You begin to see things changing for you or in your environment. You begin to see that God can use you to bless people. A lot of times we were talking about serving, and a lot of people have signed up, and thank you for those of you who are signing up to serve. There's some of you still have applications out there. Fill them out. Get them in. Let us talk. We know your past is checkered. We got a whole church made up of people with pasts.
That's right. Amen.
We've called ourselves a second chance church for a long time. We're a come as you are church. So you can come as you are, and if just fill out the application. Let us talk to you. I want to get you involved because I know it'll do something for you. You say, well, you're just trying to get people to work in that church for free. Yes, I am. Because I know what it will do for you.
Yes.
But you're going to have to see something different. 2 Corinthians, 3rd chapter. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So, Alan, how's that work? I do not know. But I do know this. That's the mirror I want to look into. When I look into my mirror at home, it does not tell me anything good. It just tells me exactly what is going on. And I've noticed over the years, it doesn't keep telling me better things. It just keeps telling me what's going on. But when I look into this mirror, I begin to see who I am in Christ. And that doesn't fade, and that doesn't get old, and that doesn't wipe out, and that doesn't fade out, because the inward man is renewed day by day.
Yes,
and so when we begin to look in this mirror, what you see, what you look at, impacts you. Let me give you a verse. 2 Peter, 2nd chapter. This is talking about Lot. This is Abraham's nephew. God also rescued Lot out of Sodom. Everybody know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Bad place, worse than Vegas. Out of Sodom, because he was a righteous man who was sick of the shameful immorality of the wicked people around him. Yes, Lot was a righteous man, look at this next one, who tormented his soul by the wickedness he saw and heard day after day. For scientists and psychologists have talked for years about whether or not television affects children. Whether or not what they see affects children. It affects children. It affects adults. What you see impacts you. What you see will have a huge impact on you. Here was Lot. He's living in Sodom. He was living with Abraham. And now he's living in Sodom. And he's seeing all this stuff. And it's tormenting his soul. It's tormenting his righteous soul because of what he saw and heard. Guys, listen. It's so important. I talked about building a stone wall. You need to build a stone wall around what comes into your eye gates and what you see and what you hear in your life. Because it will either torment you or it will help you. And there's a lot of stuff out there that's poison. Come on now, don't go away. There's some poison stuff out there. There's some sick stuff out there. And you say, well, I'm just looking. Yeah, you're just tormenting your righteous soul. Are we starting to see the effects that pornography's had on society? I don't think anybody's standing up and go, pornography has been great. It has really helped a lot of people. It has kind of opened their eyes and stuff. It's been great. It is messing with people. It is tormenting righteous souls. And like I said, we're not down on you. Listen, if you have a problem in that area, we will work with you. We will help you. And if you want to get free, you can get free from that. It does not have to dominate your life, but it's not helping you. You're looking at the wrong things. You need to look at something that's going to put life in you, something that's going to help you. When you come on Wednesday night or you come on Sunday, have you ever noticed that you come, you hear things, you notice you leave differently? At least humor me and tell me that you do, but anyway. But you leave different because you've been hearing good things. You've been worshiping God. You've been spending time with Him. And you get in that environment. Have you ever noticed it doesn't last? You wake up the next morning, you're like, ugh. So what do? You go back. And you start looking at what God has said about you and the relationship that you have with Him, that this is somebody who loves you, who believes in you, who sees good things in you. And you begin to read His words, and you begin to read where it says that He has blessed you in Christ. He's accepted you in Christ. And you begin to go, oh, thank God. Thank you, Lord. I'm not rejected. Thank you. I don't care what my ex said. I don't care what other people have said. You accept me. You love me. I'm loved by you. Thank you. Thank you. You see true value in me. Thank you. What happens is then you start to see things differently. I've told this story before, and you know my story, but it bears repeating. I grew up in a home, father, mother, a sister. My younger sister was adopted. And my dad and I weren't super close, so I understand dad issues. He tried. He was a good man, moral man. But my mom called me when I was 58 years old and told me that my father was not my biological father. And for Joy and I, it made a lot of sense. It clicked. I've told that story to be, that's where I found out that I was half Jewish and that I was artificially inseminated. This is in 1958 in Atlanta, Georgia. That was kind of a new technology then. I took on the first time, half Jewish. My mother did not want to talk about it because for years it was called adultery by doctor. So yeah, it was a stigma. They never told me. And so I grew up thinking, oh, that's my dad, but gosh, we're not alike. And he's 6'4", and I'm not. And I played basketball. I kept waiting for that growth spurt to come. I gave up at 30. But I can remember that over the years, I've been feeding and looking at what God said I was and who I belong to. Yeah. And when I heard that from my mom, oh, your dad is not your dad. And I've told that to people. And people looked at me and go, oh, my gosh. How did you deal with that? I went, I dealt with it. It's like, actually, it wasn't, I'll be honest with you, it wasn't a big deal. I thought, oh, that's cool. I'm half Jewish. I went home and told Joy, twice chosen. Joy is so jealous. She wanted to be Jewish, but she's not. But it didn't bother me. It really did. I can honestly, I didn't lose an ounce of sleep over that. None. Because I didn't see myself as Richard Clayton's son. I saw myself as belonging to my Father God. I saw myself in Christ, and my identity is not in I'm a Clayton, and we're from Georgia, and we're from the South, and that's who we are. No, I'm a new creation, and I'm in Christ, and I'm more than the conqueror in Him. And that's who I am.
Yes.
And it didn't bother. It really did. In fact, it made a lot of sense. Jordan and I went, mm-hmm. Now I get it. Now I get why my dad and I just couldn't, very different. But if some people, that they were so worried for me, like, are you okay? Yes. I am. But from their perspective and my perspective was different. So, Alan, how did you just have a different perspective? I had a different perspective because I've been looking in this mirror for a long time. And I've been finding out what the Bible says I am because I'm a believer. I'm in Christ. Now, here's the good news. If this doesn't, this isn't like exclusive to pastors or super spiritual people. This is for anyone who will look at the scripture and go, Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me. I see this in the word. And listen, when you first start saying things like, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you think, I don't think I want to tell anybody that because they know me. I don't want to say anything. Well, don't tell it to anybody. Tell it to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You made me righteous in Christ. Thank you, Lord, that I'm dead to sin because of what Jesus did for me. Thank you for that. So, Ellen, I know you. I've watched you drive. You are not dead to sin. Yes, I am. This is what the scriptures say. And so what's becoming a reality is what's becoming in here is becoming a reality in here. And it begins to change out here. Does that make sense? Yeah. But you got to look in the book. You got to read the book. And we'll talk about next time is God changed Abraham what he saw. Next week we'll talk about he changed what he called himself. So once again, we're going to go back to words. So it's not just what we see in here. Don't just read it and go, that's good. Read it and go, Lord, I want to thank you that Jesus has been made to me wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Lord, I want to thank you that you've given me the gift of the Holy Spirit to live inside of me. And he is teaching me and guiding me, showing me things to come. He's bringing things to my remembrance. Lord, I want to thank you that I'm dead to sin and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from sin and death. See, you begin to get those scriptures in you. Now, last week I called it homework. I don't want to call it homework. It's just a challenge. Did you get a verse? Anybody try that? Just take a verse and begin to speak a verse. Great. That's four of you. That's good. Here we go. We can get better at that. But listen, when you're reading in 1 Peter and I think we're in 2 Peter now. But as you read, as you find a verse that talks about you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people who he's called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Instead of reading that and just going, okay, I'm reading over that, stop right there and go, Lord, thank you. Thank you. I'm a chosen generation. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm part of a holy nation. I'm your own special people. And if you begin just to begin to speak that, the word is near you. It's in your heart and in your mouth. Would you bow your head with me for a moment? Father, we thank you for this. Thank you for the truths of your word that you make real to us and that you bring alive in our hearts. I thank you, Lord, that no one who belongs to you ever has to have a poor self-esteem, that no one who belongs to you ever has to think poorly of themselves because such an awesome price was paid to make us your own. And we thank you for that. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're here this evening and you say, you know what, Alan, I don't even know if I have a relationship with God. I don't know if I've received Jesus as my Lord, but I want to. Or maybe you're saying, I have done that, but I've gotten away from him. And I want to come back. Will he take me back? He absolutely will. We're going to say a prayer. Very simple. If either one of those situations applies to you, and you say, you know what, I want to make sure I know the Lord, and I want to come back to him. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up just real quick across this auditorium? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your courage. Thanks. Thank you. His hands go up. Yeah, I got you. All the way in the front and all the way in the back. Good. Anybody else? Say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? All right, we're going to do exactly what we said. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You wanted to. You can do this. We're going to pray it with you. We're going to pray this prayer together out loud. You're online. You're by yourself. Pray it out loud if you're with others. Pray it quietly. But if you're here, play it. We're going to pray it with you. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord,
as my Savior,
as the one who forgives me
and restores me.
Thank you, Jesus.
My past is forgiven.
I have a relationship with you.
I'm a new creation in Christ
because I've said yes to you.
Head still bowed just for a moment.
Father, thank you. Thank you that you move on hearts and you're the one who regenerates and changes by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for what you've done in lives. Thank you for bringing people back and for those who've walked out of darkness into your marvelous light for the very first time. We rejoice with them here and the ones online. We give you all the praise. And Father, for those of us who belong to you, thank you. You are so good. Thank you for what you've done. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.